This is Yusuf Abdul-Kadir.
This is Latavius Murray, and this is Afro Futures.
And Murray catches a seam. Here goes Latavius Murray in for the score.
Because their pensions, their health insurance, their families, so we are funding for other people's communities to have the promise of the American dream while we are denying it in our community.
Gonna get it in the flat to Murray. He makes a mad miss. And a big game for Murray, who's still on his feet inside the 15. To Latavius Murray and everybody making people miss this afternoon.
So we want to put in context, because it's not just a class issue, it's a race issue. We're telling black and brown people and poor people, you don't matter.
Today we're going to talk about Laura Ingraham's comments of a while back regarding athletes needing to just shut up and dribble. And more recently, Zlatan Ibrahimovic to LeBron and telling him he basically should just shut up and dribble as well. As an athlete, you're put in this position, this spotlight immediately, some more than others. LeBron, in this case, best player in the world, obviously has a huge following, huge platform. A lot of young athletes, young kids look up, admire, and a lot of his peers look to him and admire him for what he's doing on and off the field. An educated man on the more recent issues our country, community has been dealing with. He's a pillar in his own community and the things he's done for the youth. And so I take that as a sign of disrespect for a white woman and a European man who plays soccer that's not even from this country, grew up and maybe even haven't had to endure anything or any of the things that LeBron has experienced or any of the other athletes around who's speaking out versus some of these injustices that, our community, the black community has been facing. Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, but more specifically, Jim Brown, being a football player, America's sport, and that challenge of being in that position and really what that means and the courage that takes when you're a black athlete playing in the sport, especially back at that time, that was dominated by white males. Still today is dominated by white male ownership, white GM dominant. I just thinking, man, what kind of courage he had to have to speak out, to come together with the other black athletes back at that time to make an impact, to fight for what was right, not just for other black athletes, but for the black community. And I commend him. And then today we have that same battle when you have people like Laura Ingraham and Zlatan making comments regarding athletes not being able to or shouldn't speak out on social injustice. So we'll start there. Yusuf, just your takes on those comments from either one of the two and what you think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I'm going to first say, how do you come for the king? Like you don't come at LeBron. You don't come. There's like two people you don't come for, right? The king and the queen. You don't come for LeBron and you don't come for Queen Bee. Like I learned that, like you don't come at them. That's just the rule. Like there's a rule book. I don't know if it's printed or if it's on the internet. Like they just need to learn that. You just don't come for them. But there's a history of black athletes, right? Like, and in particular, at the peak of their height, right? Like if you think about John Carlos in the 1968 Olympics with the black power salute, right? You think about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? Like you think about Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown. You think about, Serena Williams. You think about these truly, truly amazing athletes, like just like world class, the tip top of their game. But it's not as if like athlete is their like DNA or their identity, right? Like they are also black people. And again, as black people, our experience is that we can be taken away in a moment. irrespective to the status that we may have been able to achieve, irrespective to the stature of our accomplishments. I mean, Obama was the first black president, is the first black president, you know, Harvard Law School, highly educated, and the amount of disrespect and demeaning that he got, right? And the amount of vitriol. So this idea that you should just shut up and dribble, like, really? I expect that from Laura Ingraham. That's what she does. Like, that's her thing. Whatever. We're not even going to waste time on Laura. It's just not worth it. I don't want to give Fox News that kind of credit. But Zlatan, I'm a little disappointed in, you know, this world-class striker. I think he's currently on AC Milan, you know, topping his game. You got a platform, bro. Like, you got a platform. You got a responsibility. You have people listening to you. And instead of saying, you know what, I may not understand this issue, and I have a lot to learn, you decide that you're going to, like, try to, like, denigrate what LeBron is doing. Like, you're going to try to, like, belittle it. I don't think I can have respect for that, to be honest with you, Latavius. And you know, I think for you in particular, you know, as a person who is, you know, an athlete who is using their platform, you know, I think about the struggles that Jim Brown had to think through when he was in this moment in his career. You know, are you getting any kind of, like, do you feel like you're getting any kind of blowback for wanting to be socially involved and socially conscious? I mean, the NFL yeah. just did this whole thing last year after the death of George Floyd. Like, is that, like, how are these things affecting you personally?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is you almost get a sense of the relationships you have. And let's just call it what it is. The my white friends, right? My white you know, the white execs or business execs that I look up to, I know there's a feeling or a sense coming from them of, man, I wonder how Latavius feels right now with all this going on. Where is his stance? And selfishly, I think a lot of them want to know how I view them all of a sudden, right? It becomes this very important thing to them. Like, well, I hope he doesn't think that I'm racist. I hope he doesn't think that, you know, I'm the enemy. But then there's this feeling that I have of, you know, how does this person view me?
Right.
Is it because I'm an athlete where I have his, you know, I guess, respect? Am I able to sit in a room with him and go to dinner and break bread? You know, if I wasn't this athlete, this professional athlete, what if I was just the kid that grew up in Nedro and didn't make it out? Would I have that same opportunity? So there's a constant battle of, I guess, weeding out what's real and what's fake. But yeah, as an athlete, we definitely have a duty to, again, I always say this, is educate ourselves, but do our part in an authentic way to help the Black community or your own personal community. You could be, you know, if you're Latino, it does not matter. But I think it is your job, your responsibility to speak up for those.
You know, you said something that, like, really, I mean, every conversation we have, I'm like, you know, I see a lot of synergies, right? You know, I'm from the Bronx originally. I was fortunate to be able to go to middle school and high school in the suburbs, right? And that was my way out. And then I went to Syracuse University, a private white institution, and where I got a bachelor's degree and two masters, right? And I was talking to my wife this week about, like, you know, two friends of mine, I'm not going to say their names because I just want to respect their privacy. I remember two friends in particular, you know, being like in my elementary school, 126 in the Bronx, 166th Street, Ogden Avenue. I remember it very clear. This is vividly clear. I remember everything about that school. It was a great school. It was a really good school. And, you know, as I reflect on it, I think about, like, but not for the fact that my mother had to use her friend's address so that I could go to that school, I wouldn't have gone to that school, which is really messed up in and of itself, that, like, we had to, like, use someone's address to be able for me to go to school. I don't want to take too much time. I just want to make this point, if I may. I was able to get out. You know, I was able to have these opportunities. And as I'm talking with my wife, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about these two friends of mine, and brilliant, smartest kids as well, right? And, you know, I looked on Facebook to see, I just thought about one of them. I was like, how is this person doing? And I looked them up on Facebook. And I'm like, you know, he doesn't have the same opportunities that I have, right? You know, he didn't have the same opportunities to get out. He wasn't less brilliant. He wasn't less skilled. Like, he was as smart, if not smarter than me, right? And look at the other friend who was able to also get out, right? He was able to go to middle school at a private school. He was able to go to high school at a private school. He went to, you know, a private white university and is like a vice president at like an investment bank, right? And I think about, like, I'm at Facebook, he's at this investment bank, and this other person didn't get to make it. And it's like, how can I not use the status that I have, the position that I have, whatever that status and position is, to do something and say something? So when you said that, like, you know, you were able to get out, and, you know, you think about, like, wanting to make sure that other people had that opportunity, and reflecting on peers that you work with or white execs, as you put it, that you look up to and that's in your circle, and do they really fully understand that, like, you got to say something, you got to be involved, because you doing that is going to help other people get out and even give them perspective of what it's like to grow up in your situation. And I say this in one sense, but in the other sense, it also comes with a certain amount of risk, right? Like you don't know how they're going to take you. You don't know how an opportunity is going to disappear. Or are you going to be blacklisted? Because that's happened, right? And so have you ever struggled with this, like, fear of, like, I'm going to get retribution? And if you have, like, what makes you continue to do this work, irrespective to, like, that fear? Because that fear is real. I mean, I feel it, and I do it anyway, but I feel it. So I have a platform, but I'm not, you know, in you know, the NFL. I'm not, like, you know, killing it on, you know, in the postseason like you are, you know, in the playoffs. So, like, what is there's a lot that you're risking in doing this. So what does that feel like? How do you get past it?
It's the fear of being wrong. And so I think, again, that's where the education comes in, and the knowledge about what you're speaking on and you're speaking out about. So when it's coming from a place of knowledge, then there shouldn't be any fear at all. I guess the fear of ruining relationships, ruining opportunities. But in the grand scheme of things, then how important are those relationships and how important are those opportunities, right? If you're speaking about what's right and what's wrong? And again, it's coming from a place of knowledge. So I think the more that we find comfort in that, on speaking out about what's right and what's wrong and having the knowledge and the facts about that, the hope is that anxiety around what it could ruin, the relationship could ruin, the opportunity could ruin, you know, maybe goes down. But that's not the world we live in. We all know that, because we're going to get scrutinized. LeBron James, like you said, the king himself gets scrutinized. But at the highest level, it's going to come, you know, the more scrutiny will come. So he's going to get it the worst out of all of us. But I think it's our job as athletes to support him, but even in our own way, again, in our own community, to, you know, support what's going on individually in our lives, and making sure we're doing our part on what relates to us the most regarding any social inequalities.
And it's a lot to be the first, right? Or, like, to be one of those people. I think about Jackie Robinson and, you know, just the amount of, like, attacks, right? Like, you know, we recently lost Hank Aaron, right? And just, you know, to be spit at, to be, I mean, and no one is spitting at you. So, like, you know, like, you don't got to deal with that. But you do got to be in a locker room with these people, right? Like, you do have to, you know, still interact with them. You still have to be a team on a field and be successful. So, like, is it that, you know, is the scrutiny, does the scrutiny come into play the higher the level that you're in? Like what is the locker room talk like? I don't mean like locker room talk like Trump's locker room talk. I mean like the locker room talk where, you know, you're with your peers, you know, where you are in there with your colleagues and on the field and in the sport, and just what is that like? And then how do you find community amongst like other athletes? Is it just community within the NFL? Yeah. Is it community within all these other sports? Like, is there like a secret like handshake with a secret club and like a secret lair somewhere where like activist athletes get together and organize? Like, what does that look like?
So like I went to our safety, Malcolm Jenkins, who's a, you know, very socially aware and if you want to call an activist in our community and doing things for the Black community, and more so just to speak on and ask about topics and what he's doing and how he's educated himself over the years. But, you know, so I think when you talk about what is the, you know, how hard it is, I think it says something about being the first one to come out and speak out. And the first one that comes to mind more related to today was Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. And so the blowback that he received probably for being the first. And then, yeah, they related that to the flag and the national anthem, which in my opinion, it was never about that. Right. That's what they made it about. But I think it all came down to here's a Black guy that wanted to take a knee during the national anthem. And he's speaking out about the things that is going on into the world that we just no longer want to tolerate. And so everyone who got on board with that, that became an issue. I will say, you know, to the outside world, he did get a lot of scrutiny. The positive is what sports can do and what the locker room can do in those different, relationships, those different backgrounds, those different ethnicities. That's the power of the locker room. And so I think there's a lot of power in when the locker room speaks out on these injustices and these inequalities.
You know, Latavius, the last time I did anything in the athletic world was like over a decade ago. I wasn't even all that, right? Like I swam in high school. So I'm very much far removed, right? And the most connected to professional athleticism is me watching a game. And so as a consumer of sports, it's a different reality for me than it is as a person who is in it, right? Who lives it, who works it. This is their life. This is their career. You're training, you're playing, you're giving back to community. It's a different context for you than it is for me. And I know in the meta conversation, there's like this idea of like the NBA is just, you know, they're so much, so far ahead, they're proactive and the ways that they support their players, whereas the NFL is reactive and has a certain way they want things to be done. First, like, is that even true? How does it work? Like, is the NFL better than the NBA? Is it like, because sometimes it feels like you're comparing apples and steaks. Like, right? They're not necessarily the same kind of thing to compare. So, what is the differences from your perspective between, you know, how the sports, the different leagues engage in social activism and what they afford their players to be involved in?
So I just think the NBA has done a good job of really like unifying and coming together in regards to the matters of social injustice. I just think the NFL is still has a way to go. And look, if you even, again, think about Colin and him taking a knee. That was, I can't even think, well, years and years ago. And it seems like we're still, in a sense, recovering from that point. And even Trump speaking on the anthem and blowing it up to where now you got NBA teams that aren't even visiting the White House if they win the championship. I think there's just a kind of disconnect in what one side is willing to do versus what the other side hasn't done. And so, again, there is a lot of unity within the locker room, but I think as an organization, the NFL organization as a whole, I think we aren't there yet where the NBA is and kind of unifying, and really coming up with a plan that everyone is on board with moving forward in terms of how to really attack the issue on social injustices, and it seeming uniformly that we all coming together and agree on that.
Yeah, and also the audience, I mean, the audiences are probably broadly the same, but there's also some differences, right? There's like a ritual about NFL. There's a ritual about Friday Night Lights, right? Like all of these kinds of like themes of where, you know, where you get people from, right? Like I think the general idea is that, you know, the NBA largely plucks their folks from urban areas, right? Like really, really rich urban areas, and not rich like economically, I mean like rich like culturally diverse, right? Whereas there is a sense of like a lot of more southern places being the place where you get a lot of your, not always, but like that's just like the general theme. Even when you watch college football, right? It's like definitely like the northern schools are not going to beat the southern schools. It's just not. And if they do, like they just were lucky this year.
Right.
So there is this kind of, in some respects, this kind of cultural difference between the two. Which brings me back, I think, to Zlatan, right, Ibrahimovic. And again, we're not going to talk about Laura Ingraham because, like, we're not doing it. But I do think about how removed he is from understanding, and in many respects, a lot of the folks that we've been talking about in this conversation are from understanding what people's experiences are in ways that don't allow them to empathize, right? Because, like, it's really about empathy. It's about, like, I'm not just here because I want to be a showboat, but even if I did want to be a showboat, I could, right? Like, why is it less okay for me to engage in, you know, my First Amendment, free speech, free expression, something that we hold core to who we are as American? Like, it's the First Amendment. Like, you can't do anything else without the First. But somehow that's like, you're exempt from that. Like, somehow you're exempt from being able to, like, freely express yourself. And I should say that the First Amendment applies to government restrictions on your ability to do so. So it's not exactly a First Amendment question, but you get the point, right? Like, so I guess for you bringing it back to Zlatan, like, what would you say to him? Like, if you were sitting in front of the mic with Zlatan right now, you guys were having that conversation, if you were in the locker room with him, if he plays a different kind of football, right, but still football, what would you be saying to him? What would that conversation look like?
I mean, shut the hell up. You know what I mean?
Just straight from the jump. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, if that's what he said out the jump, but it just comes down to like what is it that I'm saying that you feel I don't have the right to speak out on, to speak out about? You know what I mean? Because if it's about the Black community, then the conversation ends there. You're a European, you know, that played here in what, LA for a short period of time, but how can you tell me what to or not to say in regards to the Black community? Is it about, you know, police injustice? It all depends on what is the conversation and what he feels is right or wrong. But either way, there's no answer that will get me to be like, okay, you're right, maybe I should not speak, because that's our job. It's our job. It's our responsibility. Especially when we're, you know, educated and aware of these things, to speak out on them, and to make everyone aware of our frustrations, our feelings, our beliefs, our takes on him. And he was professional in his response, very professional in his response, more than I was by saying even shut the hell up. I was a fan of Zlatan, before hearing that, and that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But what we also got to understand, man, is that, like, There's a big difference too between the NFL and the NBA in regards of, you know, there's this individuality that these NBA players have,
right,
that the NFL players don't, right? It's more about team, you know, the owners, organization, to where, you know, NBA, man, you know, no helmets on. You got the best players in the world who are known internationally. And so that platform is even bigger. So again, that's why I think they've really done a good job using this huge platform, these individual players, because their voice, speaks volumes.
No, I think that's right. Any person who can see the distinction between NFL and NBA can see very much what you said, right? You know, if you are a part of a larger collective of people, and the culture is different, and the structure is different, the audience is similar but also kind of different, and it affords a different opportunity, you know. And whereas with the NBA, even the difference between basketball and football, like I could play every sport but basketball. I wish that I could play basketball, being 6'1", and it's kind of like the biggest letdown I've had in my entire life. But you know, if I wanted to play a game with anyone, I can't play one-on-one football, right? So like I gotta have like an entire team. Like you gotta have a group of people. You can't play, but you can play one-on-one in basketball. And I think even that difference gives you the ability to be an individual in a very different way. I mean, it's definitely a team sport, but you can be an individual in a very different way that you can't be in football. Like, you can't play football by yourself. You can't run the ball by yourself. Like, you can't throw the ball to, like, this is a team sport through and through. And so I think there is something to that you raised that I think that makes sense. And because it's a team sport, the dynamics of your ability to speak out and have that freedom is a little different, and the responsibility to the team and the structure. I think I hear you with that.
Well, look, this conversation, obviously is one to have as we continue to grow and expand our personal brand, you know, in the football world. For athletes who will continue to use their brand on speaking out about really everything, but the things that really are important, the things that really matter in regards to social justice, social inequality, and how it pertains to them personally in their own community. So again, my advice to all athletes is to educate yourself. And if it matters to you, man, don't be afraid to speak out on it, regardless of the backlash, because look, you will get it, but there's people out there that's waiting for you to speak, right? There's people that are holding on to those words. And I think that's more powerful, than any of the negative, you may get back.
Well, thank you for that, Latavius. This has been Latavius and Youssef with Afro Futures Podcast. Catch us wherever you get any of your podcasts today.
Afro Futures is produced by WAER Public Radio, produced by Joe Lee and Kevin Clausen.